Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Did you have a good week? Did you have a good Christmas? I hope you did. I hope that God just reminded you of the why we do this, what this is about, what all this means. I think I have a special message for us. I think I have something good for us. Before we get going today, just a question. How many of you guys were at Christmas Eve service? Just need to ask. A pretty good bunch of you. You can explain to those who didn't raise their hand what I'm about to say and why. The word is transmogrify. I used the word Tuesday night, and there was an explosion of, what? What is that even a word? Yes, it's a word. It's a verb that means to transform into a different shape or form. In a sentence, perhaps something like this. When the pastor used the word transmogrify, the usually sweet congregation transmogrified into a peck of puzzled people. So, anyway, if you remember the old, I think it was a DOS program even, or maybe it was early Windows, Banner Mania. You remember that program? You plugged in, you printed on your dot matrix printer these banners. You could hit the transmogrify button, and it would morph them into all these different, you know, shapes and waves and arcs and all this kind of stuff. So, sorry, that was the word, and I used that. So I wanted to clarify that it actually is a word. So for the media team and all those people, there you go. There you go, now you know. So, after Christmas, right? Here we are a few days after Christmas. We talk a lot in the holidays about Christmas stress. Latest studies say 62% of us, over half of us, in other words, report experiencing stress during the holiday times. It's become so prevalent that they've done studies on it, and they've come up with a term. They actually have a term for the condition of holiday stress. It's FS, or festive stress, because they lump in Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's and all the variant celebrations this time of year into what they call festive stress. Now, some of the things that we stress about, and I think you have them in your notes, shopping for gifts, 56%, knowing what to buy. I didn't list on the screen, but no, that to me is one of the greatest stresses. I don't mind the buying part. I don't mind the shopping part. It's knowing what to get somebody. Isn't that frustrating? 54%, I think, of people said that. Crowds and lines, though, that's my big one. I just, man, the advent of internet shopping, that's right down my old alley. I love brick and mortar. Man, if I could just figure out a way that I didn't have to go stand in a line, that would be great. Cleaning, 45%, if you hosted something this year. Cooking, 36%. All of those things are contributors. But my question is, what about after Christmas? There's not much said about after Christmas as we kind of go back into, I think the girls when they were praying up here referenced going back into normal. I want you to think through this. What I call the ghost of Christmas presents. Do you realize that credit counseling agencies and consumer counseling agencies see a 25% increase in people seeking help in the months of January and February because they're propelled there by their Christmas spending, by the bills that come due in January and the bills that are now past due in February? In 2018, they did a study, and 28% of Christmas shoppers were still paying off their 2017 Christmas debt in 2018. That brings real stress all year long. That's not just FS. That is all year stress. 58% of us take longer than 3 months to pay off our Christmas spending, just our Christmas spending. 15% of us need more than 5 months to pay off our Christmas spending. It's estimated that in 2018, the average shopper spent $1,230. They incurred $1,230 in holiday debt. If you base a $30 a month payoff on that, and you try to do that over 16.5% over just 5 months, I just stopped there. Your actual real Christmas spending is not $1,230, it's more along the lines of $1,832. That creates and generates all kinds of stress for people. Then you compound that with the things that happened this week, the things that happened at Thanksgiving, the things that happened at the Christmas parties and all those things with conflict or disappointment or, I wanted it to be this way and it just didn't turn out that way. For some of us, it's isolation, it's loss for a lot of us this year. I experienced more loss from Thanksgiving to Christmas this year than any other time in my life of people that were very dear to me and near to me and spoke into my life in a lot of ways. So I identify with that. But for many of us, the greatest stress actually happens after the holidays. So let me give you a kind of some truth we're going to kind of guide down. The holidays don't create loneliness. They just amplify it. They accentuate it. And after the holidays, as everything kind of pulls back, you're left with the reality of, oh my gosh, I am incredibly alone. Some of you guys are feeling it today. I don't want to point you out, and I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, but I want you to know, hey, we here at the Heights, we understand that. We're very, try to be very transparent here. We get that. And so I want you to know that you're not alone. You have a home. You have a family. You have people who want to care. Sometimes we don't really know how, but we want to. One of the urban legends is that suicides increase at Christmas time. Actually, technically, they decrease. The normal average daily suicide rate is 34 per million in our country. Thanksgiving and Christmas, it declines. New Year's Eve, it declines. But look what it does after New Year's. Talk about stress increasing after the holidays. It jumps substantively to 41 per million. So I want to introduce a term. We've heard a lot of PTSD, or there's other terms for it, and I'm not making light of that, but there is, in a sense, every year for people what I would call PHSD. It's a post-holiday stress disorder. Our Christmas blues and holiday blahs turn into New Year's gloom, in other words. So this morning, I want to look at a story, and I want to ask the question, how do you contend with that? As a believer, if I'm feeling, and listen, guys, take the church badge off for a minute. Just be real with God. Am I dealing with this? Maybe you're not. Good. Good. But maybe you are. Then let us come around you with the love of the Lord and the truth of God today. And I want to start by saying this. If you came away from 2019 Christmas unmoved, unyielded, and unchanged, then you probably celebrated wrongly. I don't say that to lay guilt on you. I say that to bring into focus the idea that maybe our attention was on the wrong things. Because the celebration of Christmas, as we say so many times but rarely buy into, is about the Christ. The celebration is about the coming of Christ. And if I walk away from the season unmoved by that, then I did something wrong. That was my focus going into the holidays this year. My family will tell you, Mike can be a pretty bad Grinch during Christmas, mainly because of lines and holiday ads. If I see that woman stand and say, I love it, on that truck one more time, I'm going to run the other truck into her. Anyway. But if we walked away unyielded, unmoved, we probably observed it wrongly. So let me give you a picture of some guys who did it the right way. Let this kind of be your picture. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Guys, that's what Christmas is supposed to do. That's what Christmas is supposed to enact in our hearts and our lives. That's how it's supposed to move us. Look at these guys who had, by the way, nothing to gain and everything to lose. I have a whole different sermon on just the shepherds, but I want to look at this environment around them. I'm going to give you four things today, and these are going to come pretty quick. How do you handle PHSD, post-holiday stress disorder? How do you deal with that? Well, number one is this. Make sure that the experience of Christmas is personal. I want you to think about this, what you know about these shepherds, because their exposure, here's what we would say. Man, you guys were lucky. Man, you got to hear the angel. You got to see the glory and get to see the night sky light up. You got to go to Bethlehem. How lucky are you guys? In our minds, in their minds, it was pretty much a chance exposure. I mean, think about it. What if that they hadn't been scheduled to work that night? You know who these guys were. These guys were the ones who were taking care of the flock for the temple. It was a big flock. They weren't the only shepherds, probably. There was a work schedule. They had a time clock maybe they had to punch. You know, they did it with rocks, but they still had to, you know, punch their time clock. And so they were dealing, what if I hadn't been scheduled that night? Or what if I had been late? What if I had called in sick? What if I said, listen, I got to take my kid to the doctor. I have to go do this. And they weren't there. How fortunate for them that they were. Or what if they had had issues with the sheep that night? If they had had a stray or a lost sheep that they were trying to find, or a wounded sheep that they were trying to mend? What if something else had been going on to distract them and take them away from that experience? So in the human perspective, man, how lucky were these guys? That was a chance exposure. But I want to go back to a verse. We didn't read this in our text, but if you look at verse 10, the angels say something I think that's pertinent. They say to them, the angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The angel could have said, I bring the world good tidings of great joy. There is a worldwide global reference later on in what the angel says. But the first thing the angel says is, listen, don't be afraid. I bring you. Make it personal. Not just corporate. Not just cultural. Not just, you know, within my religion. They had a chance exposure. But here's where it gets really personal. Their encounter was by choice. See, Christmas is on the calendar already for next year, right? December 25th is coming. 362 days away or whatever it is. I hope you know what you're going to get me, by the way. But listen to the choice. And when the angels had gone away, the shepherds said to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened that the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste. You see, they took the message and they made it very personal. It was to them. It was for them. It was about them. See, here's the point. Jesus was not just the Savior. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is not just a king. He is your king. Jesus is not just just the Messiah, just the Christ. He is your Messiah, your anointed one. And God didn't just so love the world, God so loved you. And when that becomes your motivating force, that becomes the current that carries you, then Christmas and Christmas aftermath are something totally different. See, here's the point. Faith is always a matter of personal pronouns. It's one thing to say the Lord is a good shepherd. It's quite another to say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Faith that moves is always personal faith. Faith that is impersonal, it's just religion. So, here's the question. How did you personally respond to Christmas this year? Uh-oh. Well, we did this for our family. No. You. What about you? How did you respond to Christmas this year? A second thing. Not just make it personal, but ponder it. That word is used in our text. It says that Mary pondered. Now, it's interesting. In verse 18, it says, the people wondered. Wondering and pondering are not necessarily the same thing. The people wondered, and it says Mary not only pondered, but she treasured. So let me give you a little vocabulary here. It's interesting. The word thalmasan in the Greek is the word for wonder. It means to admire, to be amazed, to marvel. Wow, what is this phenomenon that has happened? And you wonder at the spectacle of it. And people were compelled to find out for themselves. They were in wonder. Nothing wrong with the wonder. But it says that Mary treasured these things. An interesting phrase in the Greek. The phrase literally means to preserve or to hold closely. The idea that you're keeping it close. And the word panta in the Greek means all forms. All the implications. How does this change everything? Because a lot of times, Christmas time is we put up decorations. Man, I got them all over my house. I got lights all over my house. I love it. My wife and I were kind of bummed because we know that we got to deconstruct all of that this week. And I don't mind the deconstruction process. I just like it the way it is. I love the light. Love the decorations. I love to walk in it. My wife's done this incredible job because, you know, we're in a new house this year. And we're trying to figure everything out. And she's just got stuff everywhere. You walk in. I walked into a bathroom I rarely go in the other day. And I walked in. It was like, there's Christmas stuff in there. I was like, that's so cool. We love that stuff of it. But what are all the forms of what Christmas does? How does this affect your tomorrow? How does it affect the conversation you've got to have with your kid today? How does it affect your marriage tonight? All forms of how Christmas affects us, do you treasure those? And then it says that she pondered. Symbolousa in the Greek literally means to bring together, to connect the dots, to make the comparison, the consideration of all that brings to pass that I need to be about, that I need to understand, that I need to do. Are you doing that with Christmas? Or is that just something we checked off our calendar? 362 days, don't have to worry about it. Men, 361 days, you start worrying about what to buy. So, C.S. Lewis says this, it's a great statement. You know, we don't need to be told new ideas as much as we need to be reminded of old truths. Christmas is something that's an old truth. The struggle really for us as staff, to be honest, is we were talking about this over the week. How do you say something that's been said every possible way it can be said in a way that's compelling during the holiday season? That's what we struggle with as your staff. How do we do this with your children? How do I do this with you guys in a way that will compel you? We need to be reminded, though, of old truths, because they're truths nonetheless, right? So ponder the wonder of Christmas. Let me give you just some thinking points. Because of God's gift at Christmas, how am I going to be more giving with my time, money, compassion, resources this week? Not this year, let's just make it easy today. Because of God's grace, how can I express grace to those with whom I work and live today? I'm not kidding myself. I've driven to church. I've had those hard conversations in the car, and you get out, and the last place you want to be is church. Or you drop your kid off at school, and your last words are pretty harsh words with one another. The sentiment and the feeling is very divided. How does Christmas affect that? Because God was gracious with us. Can we be gracious with one another? That doesn't mean you don't deal with hard issues. That just means you just do it gracefully. It's one thing to do a belly flop. It's another thing to do a dive. And somebody's sports center just went off. And because of God's goodness, how am I going to make my workplace, my neighborhood, or my home better this week? How does that translate into the day-to-day, in other words? A third thing. How do I focus on praise? That's what I love what the girls did today. They're trying to draw us to praise. Now, here's what I want you to get. The shepherds didn't praise the story. Man, that's a great story. I can't wait till we get a book deal and make a movie and make all the merchandise and we're going to get rich off of this. They didn't praise a blog. They didn't praise some sort of news report on the scene at the stable. Or a court ruling or a political agenda. The scripture says they praised for what they had seen and what they had heard because they recognized what it was. Let me give you a really, really deep insight into the faith. Do you understand that we never praise God for the theoretical, for the theories? We praise God for what we've experienced about Him. I was lost. I had no purpose. I was drifting. God brought me back. I have direction now. I was guilty. God forgave me. I was worthless. God gave me worth. We experience those things from God, and that's what erupts in our praise. See, here's why this worries me. When we get together on Sunday mornings in our celebration, and sometimes our praise is weak, I wonder, have we not experienced God at all this week? Because when we experience God, we praise Him. Track it through the scriptures. It's everywhere. So my question is, how have you experienced God this week? And so the angel says to them, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, just take that statement. Let me talk about the experience that produces the praise. You understand the first thing that happens is that the shepherds heard the testimony. Here's the point. Well, you say an angel appeared to them. It was just God's word. It's the same word that had been prophesied for thousands of years. It had been amped up hundreds of years before. It was all there. The angels just repeated what the Bible had already said. They experienced God's word. Here's my question. We're going to talk about this in the next series we're going to start next week called 2020. Where did I get that name? Anyway, I'm so creative. They experienced the word of God. Are you experiencing the word of God on a daily basis? Man, when you're not, no wonder sometimes your praise is weak. Mine too. So they've heard the word of God. They experienced God's word. And they had trusted the truth of what that word said. In other words, they obeyed God's revealed word. I get it. It's not easy to always obey God's revealed word. Sometimes it's not even practical. God, everything in me says I need to respond this way, but you're telling me to turn the other cheek. How? Why? How am I going to be viewed? How am I going to be seen? God goes, I don't care. How are you going to view me? How are you going to see me? They obeyed God's revealed word, and they praised then because they had experienced God. That was the whole point. They didn't praise because they met a baby in a manger. Do you understand that? It wasn't about, oh, he's so cute and cuddly. I can't wait till we get his pictures. They praised because they met God in the flesh. It changed them. it produced this praise in them. And it brought them to the fourth and last thing, which is this: they began to proclaim it. They began to proclaim the gospel of Christmas. There's a really, unfortunately, overlooked term in this story. But you know what? It's PHSD wrapped up in a present for us. It's a reminder of what you guys and what I'm going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do when we leave here in a few minutes. It says that the shepherds, some translations say returned, some translations say went back. Hupostrepsan in the Greek just means to go back. It says in verse 20, the shepherds went back. And where did they go? Look at where they went. They went back to their fields and their flocks. Think about that for a minute. They went back to the same environment. They went back to the same field, to the same house, to the same place. They went back to the same job and the same bosses. They went back to the same homes, and they went back to the same families. They went back to the same challenges and problems, didn't they? They went back. They had had this amazing encounter, and they go back. Here's the difference. Their circumstances didn't change. Their job was just as hard. Their wife was just as cantankerous. Their problems were just as pressing. But they were different. You see, if I can encounter Christmas and stay the same, then really nothing has changed. But if I encounter Christmas and I have changed, everything changes. When you encounter God, you will either be hardened or broken. Here's the sad thing. God doesn't remake the hard. He only remakes the broken. There were people like Herod, people like the religious leaders who would encounter the Christ, and they just got more hard. And they died in their hardness. And there were some who fell on him and who were broken. And it made an eternal difference in their life. They praised and told, and this is really cool, a great statement, all that they had seen and heard. They didn't have to add to the story. They didn't have to take artistic license and create something. They just told what they'd seen and heard. Guys, beloved, here's the thing. Post-Christmas, God doesn't ask you to make up some grand story. I know in a world of blogs and social media and we got to show our best side and all of that, I know how popular that is. It's so tired. It's just another version of human pride. Just go tell the glorious story of the gospel, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and you can be changed by him if you will believe. Here's the interesting thing about the saving knowledge of Christ. It's not like the sun. It doesn't just illuminate the whole earth. The saving knowledge of Christ, for the most part, is passed like a torch from hand to hand, from man to man, from person to person. So my question is simply this: who are you sharing your light with? We're talking a lot about that as we move into the next series. See, here's what the shepherds got, what Isaiah said 600 years before, that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And for unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's why they were transformed. That's why they went back praising. That's why it was personal. And that's what they proclaimed. So as we wrap up this morning, let me just give you four applications, all right? Some of these we've already asked, so I'm going to bring them back up. Question number one is this: how are you different because of your exposure this Christmas? If you're not, maybe you need to step back and say, man, I had my eyes on the wrong thing. I was looking at the wrong stuff. I was so focused on the production that I missed the person. How did you personally respond to Christmas, in other words? A second question is this. To whom have you shared about the God you met this Christmas? How has Christmas changed your praise? You know what my prayer was when we got here this morning? As I was driving in, and I usually pray something like this, that our praise would be energetic, that we wouldn't be tired, that we wouldn't look around and say, you know, it's post-Christmas and there are a lot of people still out. There are people, you know, celebrating with their families and we're just doing one service. Man, all the more reason to bring it, right? How has Christmas changed your praise? And not just for today. Moving forward. Number four, is it personal with you? Maybe Christmas is less than it should be because it's just not personal with you yet. It's maybe cultural, it may be environmental, but it ain't personal. I urge you, if it hasn't been, go and see this Christ for yourself. Do what the angel told the shepherds to do. Go look it up. Go check it out. It's real. And it's right. You don't have to put some kind of fancy twist on it. You don't have to color it some personal or some specific way to make it more pretty. It just is what it is. God with skin on came to die in your place for your sins, to be raised from the dead, to be ascended and returning. If you get that, if you understand that, if that becomes your core and your belief and your base, you're going to be okay. But until it does, until it's yours, not just here, but here in me, then you're lost. Man, what a great time of year to find Christ and to let God's grace become very real. Pray with me, if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this incredible story of these guys. We don't even know how many there were. We don't know if it was one or two or ten. We just know there were shepherds. Father, they weren't educated. They were blue-collar, just good old boys. They would have fit right into Texas like crazy. And Father, when you announced it, you announced it to them first. You didn't go to the religious elite. You didn't go to the government officials. You didn't go to the movers and shakers in the community. You announced it to people who were cleaning up sheep mess. What does that say? That you're to reach out to all men, from the lowest to the highest culturally. And that in your eyes, there's not a strata. It's just people with need, people with sin, people with lostness, people with guilt, people who have been discarded and forgotten and cast off. And yet, Lord, you say, I bring you good news, which will be for all people. Lord, we're all people. And there's some of us in this room today that ain't become personal yet. Lord, you're moving, you're prompting, you're tugging, you're suggesting, hey, check this out. Believe Christ. The baby in the manger became the Christ on the cross, and will become the Savior who is returning. Trust him. Father, for those of us who are believers and have been so for a long time, I pray this would not be mundane, that it will be motivating. Father, that our praise would be affected as we see it fresh and new, as we're reinvigorated by it. Father, help us to go live it for real. And take away our PhD and give us your motivation to live well in our world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.